You've worked hard for what you have, your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.
It's time for The Deuce with Jimmy Chavez on 1620 The Zone. All the headlines you need in 2 minutes or less.
Well, you know about Dollar Beer Night tonight at the Chai, but did you know the Creighton women won big on the road last night at Providence, 64-46. No word on if there was any beer involved. That's not our job. Emma Ronsick scored 20 for the Fighting Flans, who improved to 13-6 overall and 7-4 in Big East action. Providence falls to 12-10 on the season, 3-8 in league play. Jays continue out on the road against Georgetown Saturday at noon. Other college basketball, number 12 Iowa State knocks off number 5 Kansas State, 80-76 last night at Hilton. Jaron Holmes scores 23 for the Cyclones, who now find themselves in a three-way tie atop the Big 12. Best conference in college basketball. They're tied with K-State and Texas. The Longhorns beat Oklahoma State at the new Moody Center, 89-75 last night. In the NFL, this will bring joy to Gary. Carl Cheffers will serve as the lead referee for the Super Bowl.
Garbage. I feel bad for the NFL, whether the Chiefs are in it or not. That must be his goodbye present. Give him a Super Bowl.
They're not going to give him like a gold watch?
This is his third Super Bowl,
too. To be the white hat in the Super Bowl.
Jesus. Yep. That's a lot of responsibility.
He was the Super Bowl in Super Bowl 52 and 55. Which involved Gary's Kansas City Chiefs losing to Tampa Bay. It is 15 years. He's the longest tenured referee in the league behind Jerome Boger. 15 years.
Yep.
And he gets the Super Bowl. So actually, I found that out from Gary before he left yesterday. I won't say on the air what he said, but you can imagine if you're a Chiefs fan. Hey, but here's some lighter stuff about the Super Bowl. Chris Stapleton will sing the national anthem. Well,
minute 45.
Yeah, that... I'll take the over.
You know what? I think I'm going to go over there.
Yeah.
That's a good call for him to sing the national anthem. Mm-hmm.
I like that. Babyface will perform America the Beautiful.
Oh, yeah? Babyface, huh?
Yeah.
Their rendition of Fire and Rain, by the way, fantastic. On a side note.
Hard-hitting news.
Will Chris Stapleton be doing this national anthem solo, or will Mavis Staples be with him?
Ooh,
that'd be a great
Staples
combo, man.
Christmas Vacation.
Exactly.
Christmas.
Thanks, Jimmy. For everybody out there that is wondering, Patrick Mahomes woke up this morning. That ankle was feeling a little bit better, and the line has dropped to 1.5.
Uh-oh.
The Bengals are the favorite. I'm sure Zach Taylor will use that as motivation.
Are you doubting us?
It's Wednesday, and we've dropped a half a point in Vegas?
Sweep the leg.
Does Zach Taylor strike you as a guy that would really lean into something like that?
Yes! Stop! I don't care that he's one of the more likable Huskers of all time. He coaches the team that I'm trying to beat to go to the Super Bowl. Okay?
So he's an enemy for a few days for you.
He is subtly a slayer.
Well, yeah. But okay. Do you think he really gets into that?
Yes. He admitted that the other day. He searches the internet to find motivational things for his team.
But he also
coaches a team that's got Eli Apple on it, who is...
I do like the... the A-hole Hall of Fame?
Yeah, he and Patrick Mahomes'
maybe
brother
not the Hall of
Fame.
I'm not going to put him in the Hall of Fame. I'll put him in the A-hole crowd.
Okay. So, not a Hall of Fame career when it comes to being A-hole behavior? I think he's pretty close.
I don't think there should be a Hall of Fame for A-holes.
Well...
because we're giving them too much credit.
They got to be enshrined.
I mean, as we're finding out, the Hall of Fame is just a museum.
By the way, I started glancing at the Grace Rolland numbers. Interesting, very interesting. Especially the amount of hits, the length of career.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. We'll get into that later, but yeah.
Mark Grace's career and Scott Rolland's career, put them side by side.
Yeah.
And also know that there are very few people that have hit 400 home runs and have 10 gold gloves in their career that are not in the Hall of Fame. Andrew Jones is one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Just pointing out some things about the museum.
The baseball museum in Cooperstown.
All right, 7:41. So Bussin' with the Boys had Matt Rhule stop by. Matt Rhule had a good trip to Nashville. He went down there and got a wide receiver. Demetrius Bell committed. Here's the thing we're finding out about Nebraska recruiting. So they are highly competitive internally. And they're trying to win. Like, get a win. Your position group, get a win. They strike me as really good closers. Like, not everybody loves recruiting. I think to be on Matt Rhule's staff, you gotta love recruiting. And I think he likes recruiting, which is big for a head coach. But they have proven that they are closers. As long as name, image, likeness, and you're not competing against another school in terms of money, and you get them to campus, they're doing a good job of closing the door. But they're not done. I mean, Demetrius Bell commits yesterday. But they go down to Nashville, and so it's a win-win in Nashville. And Matt Rhule goes on with Will Compton and Tyler Lewan from Michigan. Taylor Lewan. There were a couple of things that were said. So I'm starting to get a little backstory and building up of what's going to happen on September 9th. We already know that Colorado is making a huge push to keep Nebraska fans out of the stadium in Boulder. It's going to be an absolutely chaotic day. There is a really, really, really good chance that both national pregame shows will be in Boulder. Colorado is, along with everything that goes into the Deion Sanders marketing, Colorado here shortly is going to unveil a huge marketing campaign for that game.
Yeah.
I mean, a mammoth marketing campaign for the game. Now, remember, they don't want any red in the stadium. Remember what their AD said. Well, here's what Matt Rhule said. First of all, Matt Rhule acknowledged it's going to be a great game for college football. And he was asked about, you know, fans being in the stadium. He was asked, do you fully expect Nebraska to go into Colorado and have a sea of red in Boulder? And he said, I expect our fans to show up. I expect Nebraska fans to be in that stadium.
Oh, yeah, they're challenged.
I mean, they're going to spend some money.
Yep.
But there will be a lot of Nebraska fans. I mean, it's going to be a wild day of college football.
Who do you think is going to answer the call more to their respective head coaches? Nebraska fans or Colorado fans?
Nebraska, 100%.
Oh, Nebraska fans.
Yeah. Always.
It's cute. Again, and I'm not – it's cute. Mel Tucker tried doing this. Deion Sanders has a lot more cachet. I totally acknowledge that and understand that. But at the end of the day, money talks, BS walks. Nebraska fans answering the call will feel like, hey, you know what? If I got to expand my investment, I'm going to, because we need to be there. We were challenged. I'll be damned if Colorado fans are going to outnumber us.
So it's a challenge. It's like, a, you know,
absolutely.
And it's the second game for Nebraska. I'm not overlooking the Minnesota game, which is more important than the Colorado game.
Right.
I said it. Minnesota game for Nebraska football, more important than the Colorado game. Matt Rhule, who has been around the block for a while. I mean, we're going to have to get used to somebody who is very mature in their responses and very measured.
An adult.
That's no fun.
Who also, I think, subtly is a slayer. So, on his visit with Bussin' with the Boys, he was asked about his first team meeting. Now, with what I just laid here about CU and NU, you guys tell me if I'm reading too much into this. He was talking about his first meeting with his team. Quote, I had my first team meeting last night. I'm one of those guys, I don't let cameras in. There won't be a camera following me around. I want it to always be about the players. I'll give you one guess on who that subtle little jab was at.
PJ. Oh, he's already starting to poke the bear in Iowa City. Kirk Ferentz. Totally Kirk Ferentz is who he's getting after. Yeah, it's Deion. I mean, come on.
So there is another part of this little Nebraska-Colorado back and forth. Because Nebraska and Colorado in a short amount of time with two new head coaches, have crossed paths many times on the recruiting trail. I think Nebraska internally was a little bit about Colorado's recruitment of Malachi Coleman.
Yeah.
I think getting him to a visit, the way they went about it, I'm getting a sense from a couple of discussions, it didn't sit well. But Nebraska, at the end of the day, won, and they got Malachi Coleman. So just to give you an example of Nebraska is very aware of Colorado because there's the recruiting. From here on out, Nebraska and Colorado are going to cross paths. Now, they go about their recruiting differently, but Nebraska and Colorado are recruiting a lot of the same players. I mean, Colorado now has started to make inroads in the state. What was it? This weekend, right? Danny Kalen from Bellevue West is going to be on an unofficial visit to Boulder. He's one of the top priorities of Nebraska to keep him home. But Colorado is, you know, they're making their way into Nebraska. And it makes sense. And I would think if you're Colorado and, you know, Western Nebraska, which is almost closer to Boulder than it is to Lincoln, you would find your way to Ainsworth. Okay? So we know that they're going to cross paths.
Yeah.
So how about this? And, you know, sometimes you don't want to admit out loud that, hey, somebody that is a neighboring school, we're not going to pay attention to them. When you come on a visit in Lincoln, you know, you can play video games. So they have the Madden, you know, they have a great setup for the players. On the Madden NFL video game, apparently there have been a couple of recruits that one of the options on, you know, as you build your team, has been a likeness of Deion Sanders. And on the screen, it reads Prime. So there may have been a player that was visiting that was playing Madden, and he was Deion Sanders. Matt Rhule, and he tells us, I'm paraphrasing a little bit of the story, but he tells a story on Bussin' with the Boys, is that he told his staff to get that off the screen. Because they are recruiting against a coach magnet.
Right.
So for anybody that wants to like go, it's Nebraska, Colorado. It's, it's one team that had won four games last year against one team that won one. The groundwork is being put together on January about how important that game is on September 9th. And I imagine there'll be some subtle and some not so subtle jabs that'll be shared between now and then. And it's going to be a great day for college football.
Think about those press conferences that week. And I can already imagine how this is going to go. Rhule will be on the surface business, but you hit the key word there, subtle. There's going to be some subtle shots coming out of Matt Rhule because he strikes me as a guy that's not afraid to kind of send that out of at least open for interpretation, where he knows what it meant. He knows exactly why he's doing it. But he didn't actually definitively say, like, yeah, well, I want to kick Deion's ass. You know, but there'll be some subtleties. Deion, and I think he's going to do this for every opponent, but especially for Nebraska. Deion is, he's vocal. Deion has got that. He just has that style that there's not going to be really any subtlety. There are going to be things that if you want to categorize as bulletin board material, Nebraska is going to have some of that from what Deion will say because those are the two coaching personalities. But what is going to be very consistent between the two that week, and maybe it starts even before that as we get into a little bit more, you know, coach availability and anytime you get a chance to talk a little bit about some of the upcoming opponents. Yeah, Deion's going to provide a lot. He definitely will because it isn't just the game itself, but it is also trying to establish that recruiting territory as well. And I think it's going to be fantastic. You know, again, I go back to when Mel Tucker was trying to really drum up a lot of excitement, enthusiasm for the fan base when Nebraska came in. And I think it was for nothing else other than, hey, we want to have more fans than they will. I've heard that Nebraska fans will be here. I don't want that. My players don't want that. So let's sort of create this type of, you know, all for Colorado thing. But you knew what the end goal was. For Deion, it's much more than just that. And Dion, and he should, feels like he can actually do something about it as opposed to Mel Tucker at the time of Mel Tucker's career. And so I think you're only seeing the beginning. The fact that, and good for Matt Rhule to kind of be a little bit more open when talking to Will Compton and Taylor Lewan. But I think this is just the start of it, because when we get into that game week, regardless of what happened the previous week for Nebraska against Minnesota, there's going to be subtle shots coming from Lincoln, from Matt Rhule. I guarantee it. You're just going to have to really listen. And Dion, there's not going to be one subtlety about it. He's going to make it very known how he feels about this game and what he expects out of the fans and his players.
This response, talking about that game on September 9th from Nebraska's side, does show you the impact of Deion Sanders.
Absolutely it does.
That it's the Deion effect. It's not Colorado football. I'm going to play for Prime. It's Colorado is getting exactly what they wanted when they hired somebody like that, that they're aware of how their videos, of what they do, everything that, you know, they show behind the scenes, which
people are talking about and people are going to watch.
Which I wonder if there does become a point where Colorado and the whole marketing of Deion and all the different entities that they have videos of, if someone does scale back on that, because they are starting to show like a lot of behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you want to go that deep, but maybe that's what they want to do. I mean, I got a guy who's been part of a reality show at Jackson State, but it just shows you that people have to pay attention to him because they know what kind of effect he has as a coach to attract recruits. Now, I wonder if these same coaches that are very cognizant of the Deion effect then go, yeah, because they're going to be good. Or they just say, no, he's just going to try and get players.
Yeah.
We got to battle him for about 8 months a year on the recruiting trail. Mm-hmm. We don't have to worry about him for 4 months on the football field. But as long as his name is Deion Sanders, people are going to be attracted to him. So we're fighting Colorado for 8 months. We don't worry about the 4 months of the season that we're playing.
You asked the question last segment, though, about is it a better story if Colorado loses or wins? The reason I say loses is because of a couple things. Knowing Deion, when you would watch him just in studio on the NFL Network, when someone disagrees with him or he's proven wrong, he gets very defensive. Hasn't experienced a great deal of failure in his short time as a college football coach. Largely just a great story at Jackson State. And so when you're now in the Power Five, it's amplified. Everything you do is amplified. And if you lose, this is where Deion gets very hostile. This is where Deion gets very defensive. And I'm curious to see if Deion, now having been a coach for a couple of years, has been able to kind of take the ups and downs as they come and not get so pointed, so definitive, you know, so defensive. Because there's going to be questions. There's going to be more than just the Colorado press pool that any of the previous coaches were used to. There are going to be national people showing up weekly to his press conferences. And if things are not going well, there are going to be a lot of questions of why. How does Deion handle all of that? Does he say something that draws a lot of eyeballs and that draws the ire of the national college football audience? It's going to happen.
You just brought up a good question. When the season starts and you have that first hiccup, which media corps is nicer in questions their head coach, Colorado or Nebraska?
I think it'll be Colorado still.
Yep.
Scott Shanley, Brandon Vogel, a little bit later on the show, plus your chance to win $100 of my booty coming up in a bit on Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.